All right. Well, happy Father's Day to all the men in the room. But if we're going to be honest with ourselves today, Father's Day, it can be a complicated day. It can be a complicated holiday to celebrate. And the Bible, it tells this overarching story of one perfect father. In the Old Testament, we read about God as a father only about 15 times. In the New Testament, though, when we're introduced to Jesus, that number balloons into the hundreds. Jesus himself, he told us if we want to pray, that we need to start with a much different understanding on how to approach God, this holy God, to start with our Father. Now, dads, I don't want it to go to your head that you have a name that's the same as God's, okay? Our Father. Because you also share that name with Darth Vader. So, the Bible is our inspired scripture. It's inerrant in its revelation of who God is. But the Bible is also congruently at the same time a very human book. It's full of stories about earthly dads. And when you look at their stories, you quickly realize that no dad checks all the boxes to be that perfect dad. We see some great examples of what fatherhood can look like. We see how Abraham trusted God in the midst of the unknown. We see how Job prayed constantly for his children. We see how Joseph fiercely protected Jesus as an infant. We know of Jairus, who sought out God in order to save his dying daughter. And we obviously know the story of the prodigal son and how that loving father waited for his return and ran to him before he could even come back, loving him unconditionally. On a day like today, it'd be so easy just to preach a message all about how good dads, they trust, and they pray, and they protect, and they love, and they seek Jesus. And to do so, that'd be biblical to talk about fatherhood in that way. But the Bible also doesn't hide that dark side of fatherhood. The Bible's full of stories where dads severely miss the mark. We know of Eli, who knew how to be a good priest, but completely ignored his duty to raise his own sons. We can look at David, the king. He was legendary in his courage to face the enemy and facing Goliath and others, but he lacked the spine to confront his son, Amnon, after an assault on his sister, or Absalom during a rebellion. We can look at Lot, who was being attacked by a mob. He literally offered his own daughters to appease the crowd. We can look at King Manasseh, his failures as a father and as a leader, how it damaged an entire nation. We can look at King Asa, who started his reign exceptionally well, but then didn't finish well. You get the point. I don't need to go on. The heart of the Bible, it's not a lecture on how to do this and how true it is to be a good dad or a bad dad. That dynamic is exactly what makes today a gift for some in this room and deeply painful for others. The real heart of the Bible is that every dad desperately needs the love, the intervention, and the hope of one perfect father. Now, I'm the father of 6 incredible children. 4 of them are adults already, 2 teens. And it's immense honor to be their dad. And I'm immensely proud of them. And what is also true, though, is that as much as I have tried and will continue to try to be a good dad, I am by far not a perfect one. Ingrid knows this. My kids know this. And I've recently been made aware of this. You got that. Every single man here, father or not, carries a mix of both sides in us. You have moments where you're patient, moments where you're present. You're the version of you that you want to be. And you have moments where you're tired, where you're snappy, where you're reactive, and the version of yourself haunts you. The aim of biblical fatherhood is not to just try really hard to move yourself from one category to the other, from bad dad column to good dad column. The aim is allowing God to never stop growing you from the inside out. And since we're already there in our heart-strong readings, we're going to look at Zechariah today, specifically chapters 2 through 10, to see how God does this for us. You see, Zechariah was writing to a community of men who were absolutely exhausted. They had ruined their families and their nation through generations of bad leadership, of not following God. They went into exile, and they were now back in their in this broken-down city trying to rebuild from scratch. They were a mess of good intentions and massive past failures. And right into their exhaustion, God shows up and reveals what a perfect father does for his imperfect sons and daughters. The first thing he does is he protects us when we are exposed. Jerusalem's walls at this time were completely leveled. And the families felt the vulnerability of being exposed because most cities would be walled to protect and they're exposed to the world. But when we see what God does, he promises them something. In Zechariah 2, 4, and 5, we read, "Jerusalem shall be inhabited as villages without walls because of the multitude of people and livestock in it. And I will be to her a wall of fire all around, declares the Lord. And I will be the glory in her midst." God doesn't just watch Jerusalem struggle from afar. He himself becomes that wall of safety around them. And he becomes our wall of fire. The second thing he does is he redeems us when we fall. See, Zechariah has this vision of Joshua, the high priest, standing before God. In chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, it says this, Then he showed me the high priest Joshua standing before the angel of the Lord with Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. May the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Isn't this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?" And now Joshua was dressed with filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. These stained rags and filthy clothes he's wearing, they represent the sins and failures of their leadership, of the people, of the men that had led them into the condition they were. And Satan is right there condemning, pointing out the brokenness and failures of them. But we look at how our heavenly Father responds to the mess. In the next verse it says, "So the angel of the Lord spoke to those standing before him, 'Take off his filthy clothes.' And then he said to him, 'See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with festive robes.'" God rebukes the accuser. He covers his mistakes, and he restores his identity. Today, he can do the same for us. He rebukes the one who comes against us and accuses us of falling short of God's standard. The one who wants to take us out of the race, tell us we're disqualified. Instead, God restores us. He removes everything that's filthy from us and plants us in him. And finally, he sustains us. When we run out of gas, when we're at the end of what we have, like Don was saying, when the days where we're barely holding on, Zerubbabel is completely overwhelmed by the pressure of trying to lead the people and provide for his people. He just doesn't have the strength. And then God sends him this word. Chapter 4, verse 6. "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by strength or by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of armies." God is our Father. He doesn't demand that we achieve perfection through our own ability or grit. He whispers to us that he will provide the supernatural strength that we lack. Our God is a Father who protects, a Father who redeems, and a Father who sustains. Men, when we hear a blueprint like that, one of the things we often try to do, our instinct is to immediately turn that into a legalistic to-do list. These are the things that I need to be. I need to go home and be that wall of fire. I need to be the superhero that fixes everything, that redeems things and sustains things. I need to be that. We live in a culture that tells us to be super dads, and we think we have to have all the answers. We have to be able to cover our weaknesses. But there is a dangerous truth about trying to be a superhero in your own strength. A super dad can easily become that super villain. When we rely on our own might, our own power to keep it all together, the pressure is immense. And when the pressure gets too high for us in our own strength, our desire to protect our families turns into rigid control. Our desire to lead turns into heavy-handed anger. The strength we use to build our families can be the weapon that tears them down when we get frustrated, burned out, or tired. And despite what we may want, we can't be the ultimate heroes for our children. Because it's too hard to give away what you have not received. It's too hard to be a wall of safety for your kids if you're living with deep anxiety. It's too hard to give grace to your family if you're still wearing the filthy rags, the shame-filled rags of your own past. And this is where Jesus changes everything. Because of Jesus Christ, our access to our perfectly heavenly Father is wide open. True spiritual leadership that affects generations is not found in how strong you can be. And it's not only found in what God can do through you, it's also found in what a man lets God do in him. Your kids don't need a superhero. They need a signpost. The best gift a father can give his children is to constantly point them to their heavenly Father who never fails. In your good moments, when you win, when you handle family crisis with patience and wisdom, don't take the glory for yourself. Instead, reveal that it's God who holds it all together. It's God who protects and redeems and sustains. And in your bad moments, when you lose your temper, when you make a mistake, when you have to look at your child and look them in the eye and say, "I am so sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me." Don't hide it. Don't mask your failure. Use that exact moment of failure to point them to a Father who never fails. And when you model biblical repentance like that, you're teaching your children how to handle their own brokenness, where to go to be healed, to be restored, and to be sustained. Because one day, your kids are going to grow up and realize you're not a superhero. The cape is going to fall off. They'll see you for who you really are. And if you've taught them to rely solely on you or on humanity, their world will crumble when people can't follow through. But if you've spent your life pointing them to a heavenly Father who never fails, they will know exactly where to go when their own world gets shaken. Zechariah, though, he describes a home where fathers step out of that superhero role and let their heavenly Father lead. God describes this ultimate restoration of the community. And you need to think of it in terms of what they've gone through in Israel. Their city desolate, them taken away, but now come back. And the Lord of the army says this, old men and women will again sit along the streets of Jerusalem, each with a staff in hand because of advanced age. The streets of the city will be filled with boys and girls playing in them. And in the next chapter, he tells them how to live this out. He said, these are the things you must do. Speak truth to one another. Make true and sound decisions within your city gates, and therefore love truth and peace. When a man lets God father him, his home becomes a home that is built on truth and is filled with joy. It becomes an environment so secure that kids feel safe enough just to play. Dads, the story is never over for your family. Scripture reminds us of God's heart towards us. 2 Corinthians, it says, and I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Maybe you're here today and you haven't had the best example of a father. God will be a father to you, and he will show you how to be a man of integrity, how to live life trusting in him, allowing him to sustain you. And to those here whose kids might say, you know what, you've been a good dad. You've been a great dad. We praise God for that. But let God continue to work in you, to grow you so that you can be a good grandpa and maybe a good great grandpa. In all, never stop admitting your need for the perfect father to help you in all things. And maybe you're here today and your kids may say that you haven't done a great job at being a dad. And if you can hear me today without dismissing their pain, your story as a dad is not over yet. Stages might have come and gone, which we grieve. But God can still bring supernatural reconciliation and redemption to your family. Let him lead that work. We bring all of our good moments, we bring all of our bad moments to our perfect Heavenly Father. So how do we do that perfectly, or how do we do that practically today? I look at it this way, three simple shifts. The first one is approach. In Mark 14, 36, Jesus teaches us to approach God as Abba, a word which closely translates as dad, or even daddy, a much more familiar and safe way than a formal or distant God. So we approach him as our father. The second thing is to accept. In John 1, verse 12, Jesus says that if we accept him as Lord, then we are given the right to become children of God. As we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, as we live in that reality, we gain a Heavenly Father who redeems, sustains, and protects. And the third thing is acknowledge. In Luke 15, in the story of the prodigal son, we are reminded that the moment we acknowledge our mess and turn home, the father doesn't wait for the son to get clean, for to get her all right. Instead, he runs to him while he's still far off, while he's still a hot mess. On this Father's Day, just as it was in the ancient biblical world, so it is in our society, and it is with every man. There is good and bad in every father. But the bigger story of the Bible is that in the presence of a very good and very bad, there is a forever perfect Heavenly Father. You don't have to be the superhero today. You just have to be willing to be a son. So fathers, will you, maybe for the first time, or maybe afresh, will you let God be a father to you? Will you step into his presence? Let him be your wall of fire. Let him take off your filthy rags. Let him strengthen and fill your heart with his Spirit. Let's pray. God, we just thank you today that where we as earthly fathers fail and fall short, where our fathers may have fallen short, you never fail. You never fail. And so God, may we feel the release of being perfect fathers in that way, or superhero dads who must at all times have it all together. But instead, may we see ourselves as ever growing because you work in us. You are ever changing us more and more to your image. And that our true strength comes from you and you alone. That when we fail, we own it. But most of all, we point our children to you. We continue to point our children to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. We point our children to you so that they too can know what it means to have a heavenly Father who protects, who redeems, who sustains. We thank you, Jesus, for giving us one more day to say, "But now says the Lord, he who created you, he who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you." God, we thank you for your love towards us today. We thank you for being our Father. We pray this in your wonderful and holy name.